Praise God. She's my favorite singer. That's one of my favorite songs. I have a good time on that song. All right. What about if I just put it on my bottom lip? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm preaching a message today I've never preached. And that may make Brother Jerry nervous. I don't know. But I want to start in John chapter 8. And while you're turning there, could I just say to you, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the great meal last night, the wonderful fellowship, the nice hotel room. Well, we're in a nice room and comfortable. And I want to just thank you for letting us come. It's a blessing. If we could come, just come and visit, it would be a blessing. And then to think that you're going to give us a love offering and take care of us like you are, what a double blessing. But it's just a blessing to be here. And I appreciate your pastor so much. We had a talk last night. You know, I'm just like you are. I've got burdens in my life. I've got questions in my life. And we all do. We're all fighting a battle. Every one of us. We're fighting a battle. But we can be on the victory side. Amen. And I talked with Brother Ross last night. And, you know, I got in the car with my wife. I said, you know what? He's a wise man. He's a wise man. And I said to my wife, I said, he'd be a good pastor. I thank God. We've got a good pastor. But he would sure be a good pastor to have. And we should have had amens that busted the ceiling here on that, but we didn't. You know, I want to tell you the rest of the story. I enjoy telling this. The rest of the story of Joseph and Charity. They lost the twins, but then 5 months ago, God gave them a little boy. And they named him Aaron. And they took little Aaron back and did their examination, you know, all the things they look for in a baby. They came back and said 100%. They said everything looks perfect. And I'm telling you, God has given them, and you say, well, you're just a grandpa. He's given them the sweetest little guy I think I've ever seen. I mean, he's going to have to get over the sweetness. We don't want him to walk around like this, but I mean, there's going to have to be. But I think his daddy's taking care of the ruggedness that's going to be put in. His daddy's already throwing him in the air and catching him, and Charity's over there, Joseph. But I'm telling you, he's the church sweetheart. You just come up, when you make eye contact with Aaron, he'll smile. He'll smile. I've noticed some other babies in the church, they're already grumps. And they're only 6 months old. They're already living on the dark side of life. You can't hardly get them to smile. They said there's one little guy in the church, you just look at him, you go, ah. But Joseph, he hardly ever, I mean Aaron, he hardly ever cries. And he's amazing. And we love the little guy so much. He's got great big brown eyes. He looks just like his daddy. But that's the rest of the story. God's sure been good to them. I'd like for you to look today at John chapter 8, and I don't want you to be a bit nervous about the time. We'll be leaving here right at about noon today, so don't you worry about the time. I may have to preach about 70 miles an hour with gusts up to 90 in order to get all this said. But I want to tell you a little bit. Let's read first. Let's stand together and read John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And we'll start at verse number 29. Jesus said, of course he's talking to critics here, he's talking to Pharisees, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." You know what? If you'll do things that please God, he'll be with you too. Amen. Amen. And verse 30 says, "As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And circle that word free. That's what I want to preach about today, freedom. And he said, you'll know the truth. But he said, now, in order to know the truth, look what he said in verse 31, if ye continue in my word. My friend, every day of our life we need to be in the word. So we will not be deceived. So we will not follow the voice of a stranger. So we'll know the truth. And that truth makes us free. Verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. And then verse 36, if the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the service. Thank you for the Sunday school time. Thank you for that wonderful banquet time last night. Lord, I feel like more like I've gone on vacation coming here to this church than out on a mission, really. I feel like, Lord, this has been like a playground. This has been just a place of enjoyment for my wife and me. I don't really feel like we're laboring. I feel like we're just enjoying the presence of God in this place. What a wonderful thing. And Lord, I pray you'd help me now. Let me not be a disappointment to the folks, dear Lord. I know they're used to hearing great preaching here in this pulpit. I know that. And I thank you for that. And I pray today, Lord, that they would hear a message that would help them, dear God. Father, I don't want them to leave here and say, good preaching. I don't want them to leave here today and pat me on the back. I don't want them to leave here and say, what a sermon. I don't want that, Lord. I want them to leave here and say, what a Savior. I want them to leave here and say, thank God for our freedom. Thank God for our freedom. And get focused on that. And Lord, help me preach. Help these folks to listen on purpose now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In our Christmas play this year, which I'm consumed with it, we'll show it Friday night to our bus kids. There'll be maybe 600, 700 bus kids and teenagers who will ride in on our buses. We'll run that night and see the play. And then on Saturday, we'll show it three times on Saturday. And then Sunday morning, we'll show it again. You say, a play for your Sunday morning service? Yeah, but Brother Brown preaches in every one of them. Brother Brown comes out at the end of each play and gives the plan of salvation as crystal clear as you can make it. And many, many people. Last year we had almost 3,000 come to see the play. I don't know what the exact number was. Way over 2,500 came. Tour groups are coming to see this play. They're scheduling tour groups from Des Moines and that area, different places. They're bringing in. A lot of senior citizens are coming in to see this play. You know what? That could be God's way of giving some of those senior citizens one more chance to be saved. One more chance to hear the gospel. But they're coming from everywhere. I mean, our 2 o'clock showing on Saturday, it's already filled. I mean, I think about, is it 600, honey, that have already called in, made reservations, and they'll just come. They'll fill the church for every showing. And we're asking church groups, we're calling church groups and saying, could you come at 5 o'clock instead of 2 o'clock? The crowds are just coming to see this play. We put a lot of time into it. We learn our parts. In this year's play, we always have a theme. The first scene is a different scene every year. And then we go into the traditional wise men scene, Herod scene, tax collector scene, and the shepherds and the manger. And the incredible thing about it is we have live animals in the church. We have horses, we have donkeys, we have sheep, we have goats. This year we're going to have a camel. One of the wise men will be coming riding down the aisle on a camel this year. And if you've ever been to Marion Avenue Church, you say, how in the world can you do that? I don't know, but we do it. We've done it for 37 years. And people come. Brother Brown said, and almost every time we show it, a chicken will fly out of that manger scene and come flying out through. It's dark in there, you know, except for the spotlights, and they'll bang against the wall. Boom, they'll fall down. And somebody will come out and grab the chicken, take it backstage. Brother Brown said, let it happen. So we've had a goat or a sheep come down off the stage, go out into the crowd. And he said, let it happen. He said, that's what people come for. That's what they come for. We have an angel coming out of the ceiling twice during the play, about a 30-foot ceiling, and the fog starts rolling, and this angel comes down, makes a pronouncement, and it's incredible. Now, the scene this year is about, the play is about freedom. And all through the play, we bring out the freedom that Jesus Christ brings. And this baby born in the manger came to bring freedom, not just to the Israelites, but to all who would believe on him. And our first scene starts out, it's a colonial scene. It's back in the days of George Washington. Now, I had this idea, and my wife wrote the first scene, the first part of the play. And, you know, I just thought, wouldn't it be refreshing today for Americans to be reminded of what our first president was like? Our first president who loved God and honored God, and in his speeches made notice of God, and prayed at Valley Forge, and the old Quaker went out, you know, I think his name was Friend Potts, and he went out through the woods one day, and he came back to his wife and said, Martha, he said, the Americans will win this war. They will win this war. She said, how doth thee know? He said, I saw George Washington praying in the forest today, and the Americans will win this war. God Almighty saw to it they did. So I gave Joe that idea. I said, wouldn't it be amazing if an announcer came on and we have cannons firing. I think he thought of that, you know, the sounds of war. And then this professional voice comes on and gives the dates and says, a time of war. And America was at war. And he said, they're standing for the belief that all men are created equal and are endowed with their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And he tells about those. Then the announcer says, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. Now, the fog starts rolling out. George Washington is going to walk from behind that curtain out into that fog like a man walking out of the past. Guess who George Washington is? Me. I didn't want to be George Washington. I said, man, I don't have the nose for it. That guy had a nose. And I didn't want to wear a wig, a powdered wig either. And I said, I've got a southern accent. How can I hide the southern accent? But they said, Brother Brown said, let Steve Epley be George Washington. Other people said, let him be George Washington. They made me up an outfit. This lady sewed it. It's beautiful. And it looks like George Washington. I look like him from the neck down. But I'm coming out at the first part, and I'm going to come out, and I'm going to give a little speech about freedom. And I'm going to tell about those that came to this country and how they bled and all the sacrifice and how those in the war bled and died for the cause of freedom. And then there is another story of freedom. Long before our time, one came from heaven and bled and died for the cause of freedom. And then George Washington says, I would love to tell you that story, but I have much to do. I have sworn as the President of the United States that I will support, that I will protect, that I will defend. Of course, I try to say I instead of I. But and defend the Constitution of our United States. So help me God. Our first president was like that. Our president's not like that today. God help us. Pray for him. God says pray for those in authority. Pray for him. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And I've been reading in Daniel. He turned the heart of Nebuchadnezzar. He turned the heart of Darius. He turned the heart of Cyrus. And he said, you Jews, go back and build the temple. And go back and build the walls. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Pray for our president. God could turn him. God could turn him. God may reject him. God may put him out. And God may leave him in there as a judgment upon America. I want you to turn to Isaiah, if you will. Isaiah chapter 1. I have much to say this morning, and I'll be using some illustrations today. But Isaiah chapter 1, here is America. This is where we are in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 4. Thank God for our freedom today. And I hope that by the time you leave here today that you will really thank God for the freedom we have in America and do more that we might keep it. Verse number 4, Isaiah chapter 1, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Doesn't it seem to you like in America we're going backward? We're going the wrong way. I mentioned it in the banquet last night, how that no longer in the Christmas parades do you even see anything about Jesus. It's a rarity today. You see this Xmas, and you see, Santa is everywhere, and the reindeers, and all the and snowmen, and everything but Jesus, the one whose birthday we celebrate. This country's going the wrong way. Verse 5, why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Look at this now, verse 7. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. Remember 9-1-1? Strangers came. Strangers set fire. Strangers brought down the towers. Strangers, we all said, who did this? Who did this? Strangers had come, and they were devouring our land. God gave us a taste, just a little taste, of what America would be if God removed His hand. Do you realize Russia hates us? China hates us? The great powers of this world, if they have any power, they hate America. They may pay lip service to America so they can get in on the economy and get some money in their hand, but they hate us. And they'd like to see us wiped out. These countries that hate Israel, they hate us also. By the way, we better stay with Israel. Amen. Amen. We better stay a friend to Israel. I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. Thank God for our freedom today, but do you realize what danger we're in? What danger we are in of losing our freedom? I love the book of Jeremiah. I love the prophet Jeremiah. When I get to heaven, after I spend maybe 1,000,000 years just worshiping and looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and thanking Him for what He's done for me, I want to go meet some of these great men of the Bible. I want to see Jeremiah. I want to meet Jeremiah, and I will someday. And I love him. I thank God for him. He was not a perfect man. And none of us are perfect. We're so far from it. You want a little temperature gauge today to see how close you are to God? It's how you look at yourself. How do you see yourself? The men in the Bible who got close to God, it made them look so much worse. And Isaiah cried out and said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. And David said, I'm just a worm. And Abraham said, I'm just dust and ashes. And Moses said, who am I? And Peter said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. And Job said, I abhor myself, because they saw the glory of God. And when you see the glory of God, then you see yourself and what you really are. If you're sitting there today thinking, you know what, I'm a pretty good fella. I'm a pretty good dad. I'm a pretty good husband. I'm a pretty good wife. I'm a good person. I'm a good church member. You're far from God. You may be sitting in church this morning, but your heart has gotten away from the glory of God. Jeremiah, oh, what a man he was. He stood when nobody believed him. When nobody would listen to his messages, when they threw him down in the dungeon and he sunk down in a pit, and the other Ethiopian eunuch rescued him. You know, we all know the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts. But there's another Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Jeremiah called Ebed-Melech. And he's the one that went to the king and said, they've thrown Jeremiah in the dungeon. King, he's going to die in there. And the old king said, take 30 men, get him out of there. And they got him out. But he stood for God. He stood for God. One time he tried to quit and he said, I can't quit. His words in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. But look what he said in chapter 2 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 11. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. That's America today, my friend. We've changed our gods. We've changed from the one Lord God, the one who made this country great. And today Americans by the millions have other gods in their life. And money is a big one. Prosperity, they're bowing down to the dollar. Sports has become a god in this country. There are many people, and no doubt people in this room, you spend more time in front of a television watching sports than you'd ever spend in front of a Bible. Reading the Word of God or on your knees in prayer. Sports has become a god. Now, I like sports. I still play basketball. I'm 56. I still play basketball. Almost beat Gabe the other day, 1-on-1. Almost. If it had been horseshoes, I'd have been all right, but I still play softball. I like sports, but I tell you, sports needs to have its place, and it needs to be a little place in people's lives. Sports has become a god. People make gods out of their homes, out of their cars, and everything today. They're worshiping instead of the Lord God and giving Him their life and their time. Hath a nation changed their gods? I want to remind you today of what we have in America. I brought along some publications. I receive a magazine in the mail called The Voice of the Martyrs. And I cannot wholly and wholeheartedly recommend it because they do not always use the King James Bible. And my friend, I'm a firm believer that this King James Bible is the Word of God. I believe every word in this Bible is God's Word. I believe it's been preserved by God. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We've got to have every word. Proverbs says every word of God is pure. And I believe that this is the Word of God. It's preserved. And I believe when God preserved His Word, He preserved the inspiration in it. Amen? It's the inspired Word of God that I hold in my hand today. It's the Word of God. And this magazine, they don't always quote from the King James Bible. So I cannot wholeheartedly recommend it. But I can say this. When I get this each month, I see things that I would not see anywhere else. I would not see this in the Sword of the Lord or Revival Fires or any other publication that I know of. I see my brothers and my sisters in other countries who are being tortured, persecuted, beaten, their houses burned. Here's a picture of a young man in Indonesia. This young man, I don't expect you to be able to see that, but it helps me to see it. He's walking down a little path and he's carrying two legs, two artificial legs. And it's because militant Muslims, Muslim terrorists, attacked a Christian refugee town in Indonesia. And they set off two bombs. They killed 20 people. This is recent. Now, this has just happened within the last few months. They killed 20 and they seriously injured 50 people. And this young man is carrying these two legs to a young man named Yosef because he lost both of his legs when these Muslims went in and set off their bombs. And he's taking these legs down so his friend can walk. That's what's going on in Indonesia. Can we thank God for America today? Can we thank God for the freedom we have today? Here's a young lady in the country of Laos. Now, Laos is a country that borders Vietnam, China, Thailand. This young lady, she's holding a Bible that's been burned. And she lives in a village, at least at the time of this publication, September of 2010, lives in a village where her and her mother were the only Christians in this village of about 50 families. One day when they were away from home, her mother was ill. Men came into the house, took her Bible, took her songbook, threw it out in the yard and burned it. Somebody came running to her and said, "They're burning your Bible." And she went back and it began to rain. It saved part of the Bible. She, on the front, she looks to be about maybe 20 years old. She may be older, I don't know. She might be 19 or 18, I don't know. But then her mother died and she's the only Christian in this village. And you young ladies here today, you think sometimes it's hard to live for God in the environment that you're in. You young men here today, and some of you may go to a public school, and if you live for God in a public school, you are my hero if you can live for God in a public school. But really, you teenagers today, if you live for God anywhere in this world, you're my hero. You think sometimes you got it hard, but this young lady, she lives now with her sister who's not a Christian. I mean, they're not only Christians, they hate Christianity in these other countries. And she lives with her sister, and she sleeps in a corner of the house. And she has a nail to hang her things on. And that's her place where she lives. And she works Monday through Saturday for her room and board to live in this little corner of her sister's house. But she says, "My villagers still hate me and mock me like they mocked Jesus on the cross. It is the world's right to hate us." Listen to this. She said, "It is the world's right to hate us or love us. But for me, I will follow Jesus. Because I read in the Bible what he says, that the world will hate you." And she walks from that village to another village where they have a worship service. And as she walks along, they mock her. How would you like to be in her shoes today? How would you like to live in Laos today? Thank God for America. Thank God. You see what we've got here today? We've got a Christmas service, a Thanksgiving service, and the 4th of July all rolled into one today. This is all in one package today. This is Pakistan. A man here sits here, he's holding his Bible. Looks, he's 86 years old. Now all these are recent. This is January 2010. 86 years old. They came to his house. His name is Baba. They came to his house. They took hold of him. He sat outside. He could not walk. But they began to kick him. They began to beat him. They said, deny Christ. They said, "We will not beat you if you say the Kalma, K-A-L-M-A, or the Muslim Confession of Faith." He said, no, I will not say this. Burn me or kill me or do whatever you like. I have said my Kalma, and that is Jesus Christ." Then they beat me with their weapons, pistols, big sticks. They kicked me. Lying on the ground, he said, I looked up at them and said, "How can you kill me? The master of life is only one, and that is Jesus Christ. Only he can give or take life. So do whatever you like, because I know that it is God alone who can take my life." Then they took him and they picked him up and threw him into a thorn bush. And he can't walk. And they begin to walk away and they said, "If you will say the Kalma, you know, the Muslim confession, we'll come and take you off the bush." He hollers back to them and says, "Kill me, burn me, I will not say the oath." They come back then, they pick him up and they throw him down in a hole where dogs live. And he said, as I began to push myself up out of the hole, he said, I noticed my house was on fire. And they burn his house. There's a picture of this man in here. And he's holding a Bible. And it says, although he cannot read, he told us, "I hold the Bible so I can kiss it." That's Pakistan. How would you like to live in Pakistan today? Is anybody here thankful for America? Shouldn't we get down on our knees before this day is over and every day the rest of our life and thank God for America? Thank God for our freedom. Thank God Jesus made it all possible. The faith of Jesus Christ made this country what it is. The pilgrims knew it. Our founding fathers knew it. And today we have politicians that stand up and say this is not a Christian nation. We don't act like it, but our foundation was Christian. This is North Korea. Here's a man on the front, and he's got him kneeling down. This is a reenactment of something that he really did. He's burying a Bible in his yard. Because in North Korea, the worst book that you can have, the most dangerous book you can possess, the book that will bring execution to your life if you possess it, is the Word of God. He's burying the Bible. It tells how he would cross the river over into China. The first time he crossed the river, and he said this. He said, I was brought up like most North Koreans, believing that Christianity was evil and that missionaries kill people and harvest their organs. So that lets you know why some people don't accept missionaries. This is the propaganda they've been fed since they were tiny children. He also believed the Bible speaks only evil and that it should never be read or owned. But then one day famine came to North Korea. And people went wherever they could to get food, and he crossed the river and went into China. And he came across a church that was offering people food. And a man, a pastor there, handed him a Bible. And he was afraid of it. And the pastor said, read this, it will do you good. It's a good book. He did read it. He believed it. He said, why did they tell me this? Why did they tell me it's an evil book? All I see is good. And he became a Christian. He got saved. And now he makes trips across that river in the dark of night. In the dark of the night, he goes, and they've got armed guards on that river. Here we've got people in America. They're trying to get in. While these, here's what communism does. They've got to have armed guards to keep people in their country. That's communism. I hate it. Here's a dear man. He crosses the river. He'll get one Bible. He'll come back. He'll bury it. He'll go maybe months later, get another Bible, bring it back into North Korea and bury it. And as of this time, he is not yet distributed. He's been arrested, questioned, beaten. And as yet, he has not distributed the Bibles. And here's the reason. It's on the front cover of this. Here's his reason. He said, I'm not ready to die yet. He knows when the Bibles go out, they'll trace it back to him. He'll be dead. How would you like to live in North Korea today? Thank God for America. Thank God for America. I could go on. Thank God for our freedom. Now let's go back to John 8. And there's another kind of slavery. These people are in bondage in their countries. They don't have the freedom that we have. But there may be someone here today, probably is someone here today, and you don't have freedom in your life because you don't have Jesus Christ in your life. You've not been saved. You've not been born again. I was in a garage the other day. What a day we live in. I was in a garage just out in the country in Iowa as they worked on my van. And a man works in that garage who's in the process. He's a man, but he's in the process of making himself into a woman. A big guy and a mechanic. And that's all I want to say. I don't want to go any farther with that. But I sat there and I looked at that man. And then there was a teenage girl there, and she calls him Dad. And she wanted some money for something and came up to her dad. And I sat there and I looked at that man. I thought, he's in bondage. He's wrapped in the devil's chains. And he can't, they say he worships the devil and into witchcraft. He's a slave of the devil. You know what he needs? He needs this truth that'll set men free. And our pastor that knows him said, I did witness to him. And he said years ago, he did make a profession. But he said he surely didn't get saved. But he's in an awful shape. He's heard the gospel. He's rejected that now. What is there left for him? But I want to say to you today, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And if you're here today and you're bound, and there are people in America today bound by all kinds of addictions. Addictions are everywhere, and people, a few of them come out and seek for help, but most of them, they just live with it. Jesus can set you free. If you're here today, I don't know what your addiction might be. I don't know what your bondage is. I don't know what chains you have wrapped around you. All I know is this. When I was 15 years old, I was in bondage. I was raised in a semi-Christian home. My mother loved the Lord. My dad didn't go to church. He didn't fight against it, but he didn't go to church. He didn't live for God. My mother lived for God. But we had the old television there blasting, and I grew up watching that and still have things printed in my mind from those old television days. That's one reason I hate it so bad, because I know what it did to me. I know the pictures it put in my mind. I know the things that it put down into my heart, and I hate that thing. I grew up in a home where, you know, I was allowed to listen to rock music. And at 15 years old, I went to a church that preached the gospel. Benita's dad, the man I told you about last night, he was a pastor of that church. They preached the gospel. I saw people get saved. I saw hardened men get saved in that church. You know, one reason I didn't want to get saved, I saw their lives change. I didn't want my life to change. I was enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. I didn't know it was for a season. I was just enjoying myself. I was in the public school. I was an athlete, 15 years old, but I was wrapped up in the chains of sin. And one day, one blessed day, I'd heard the gospel many times, rejected it. But I was at a ballpark worshiping my God. Baseball. Some people said the Israelites, they began to worship Baal. Americans worship ball. And I was there. And my best friend. And a man stopped who had been my seventh grade teacher. Walked across the parking lot with a serious face and said, boy, something told me to stop here and talk to somebody. He did that day. He told us about Jesus, about heaven, about hell, about the cross, about salvation. And I'd heard it all before many times. But that day it was like I heard it the first time. I got under conviction. Nobody can be saved without it, by the way. I got under conviction. And I realized I was on my way to hell. I didn't get saved right there. He made no attempt to lead us to the Lord. He delivered the message and he was gone. And I went home and I started changing clothes, getting ready to go to the revival meeting that Saturday night. I hadn't planned on going, but God had a hold of my heart. And I went and I sat on the back row and I could picture the flames of hell and me in it. I thought, that trumpet's going to sound. These people will rise. I'll be sitting here left behind. I'm lost. Finally, they gave that invitation. I went down that aisle crying like a baby. My best friend right beside me, he knelt down. We were like Siamese twins. And we went to that altar and we got saved that night. And I stood beside that altar. And you know what I felt? Freedom. I felt like that old burden had been lifted off of me and I was free. And I went home that night and I don't know if I slept in the bed. I think I floated around the room. I mean, the burden was gone, and I had love in my heart, and I had joy, and I had peace. Isn't that what you're looking for? Isn't that what everybody's looking for? The people at the casino, what are they looking for? The people at the bar, the nightclub, what are they looking for? Everybody's looking for something. A lot of people are looking for an escape. I'll tell you, Jesus gives the best escape of all. He sets you free. You can escape out of the devil's hands through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I invite you to come today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Dear Father in heaven, please, Lord, take the message and use it. Lord, if someone here today is lost, or if someone here, Lord, has been saved, but they've drifted away from God, gotten out of the will of God, oh, I pray, Lord, that you'd get a hold of them and that the prodigal today would arise and come back to the Father's house. And if someone here today, Lord, is lost and they've never been saved, and it might even be a church member who joined the church and has learned how to do all these Christian things, but down in their heart, they know there was never a time that they repented and realized they were lost and turned to Jesus for true salvation. May they come today, Lord, save souls, change lives. Lord, I pray you'd help those today that are addicted to come to Jesus and say, Lord, set me free, and Lord, you can do it. And I pray for those, dear God, that are just depressed and they're bound in the chains of depression. I pray they'd come today to an old-fashioned altar, bow down before the King of Kings and say, Lord, set me free, and Lord, you can do it. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed, and as the musicians play, would you come today? If God has spoken to your heart, would you just step out? Don't wait for somebody else to come. You step out and come. Don't let pride keep you in your seat. Step out and come to the Lord today. Whatever your need is, He's ready to meet it. He's ready. I mean, He left heaven and came to this earth, and He came to die, and He did die, and He suffered, and He went through all that He might deliver us. You better believe if you come to Him today, He will not turn you away. You come with a sincere heart. That is His only requirement. You've got to be sincere. You've got to mean it. You've got to mean business in your heart. If you're lost here today, just come and just tell the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. And I need salvation. I want you to save my soul. Lord, do for me what you did for that preacher. Give me that love, that joy, that peace. Set me free from my bondage. Lord, He'll do it. He's no respecter of persons. He'll do it today. We're still waiting. Some have come, but really not that many have come. Not that many have come today. Do you need to come? Step out. You say, do I have to come down there to be saved? No, you don't have to. But I tell you, it's a good place to come and be saved. And you know what? If you're not willing to step out and walk down here, you may have so much pride in your life that you won't get saved anywhere. You might as well just do it now. Just step out and walk down here and kneel down at this altar. Tell Brother Ross, I need to be saved. Tell Brother Jonathan here, I need to be saved. I need the Lord. Or maybe today you've just drifted away, gotten out of the will of God. You feel the chains around you. You feel those chains of a backslid life. God can break the chains, set you free today. Do you need to come?